Now we're holding on Kuf Yud Dalet Omud Beis, about two thirds of the way down the Omud. The line begins Latinoikis. We mentioned in the Mishnah that when they bring the table to the person, or the equivalent nowadays, the Seder plate, then among the other things you have on it are Shnei Tavshilin, two cooked dishes. So my Shnei Tavshilin, what are those two cooked dishes? What should they consist of? I'm one of Huna, silk of Aruza. So Rav Huna says they can even be beets and rice. In other words, according to him, they don't particularly have to be meat. They just have to be two cooked dishes to represent the Korban Pesach and the Korban Chagiga. So in fact, the Gemara says Rava have a mihadra silk of Aruza. Rava would make a point davka of using beets and rice in those positions on his seder plate, where we have the zroya and the beitza. Hoyov nofik mipume de Rav Huna, because it came from Rav Huna's mouth. In other words, he wanted to show how important it is to him that Rav Huna had said this, and that to demonstrate the halacha is like him. So he would davka do that, even though Rav Huna is not saying you must use those. He's just giving those as examples of things you could use, but Rava would actually use those. You find similar things in a couple of other places in Chas. This is a source for the idea that we try to follow the minhagim of our Rebbeim. Even if we don't understand them, even if the Rebbeim themselves only said you could do it this way, you don't have to. But for what's for them a suffix becomes for us a vade, basically. Okay. Amar Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi says, by the way, Shmami no de Rav Huna. We can see from this that Rav Huna is saying that one of the things you can use is rice. Less the choyish lahal de Rav Yechin Menuri. Nobody is concerned about the opinion of Rav Yechin Menuri that cooked rice would be chometz. The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. We talked about this earlier in the Masechta, and we also learned about it in Brachas. Rav Yechin Menuri oyma oyres min dog. Rabbi Yechon Menuri says that rice is a type of grain. A person is chayav kores for eating it on Pesach if it became chametz, just like wheat or barley or the rest of the chametz amidim. And a person could be yotze on Pesach the mitzvah of matzah using rice matzah. The fact that Rav Huna and Rava had rice on their seder plates and the pashtus ate it during the seder shows that nobody's concerned for that opinion of Rabbi Yechon Menuri. Rice is not chametz. Now, of course, we Ashkenazim have a long-standing minhag going all the way back to the time of the early Rishonim not to eat rice and various other kinds of kidneys on Pesach, but that's another matter. It's not that we say that those are chametz. We say they're very easily confused with chametz because, for example, you make flour out of them. Some of them grow in a way very similar to grain, but it's not. We all know that me'ikra din, they are mutar on Pesach. It's just a matter of chumrah and a matter of minhag, rather than, as Rabbi Yechon Menuri would say, that it's actually a matter of halacha that cooked or baked that cooked rice would actually be chametz. Okay. Continues the Gemara, Chizkiyah says you don't even need two separate dishes. Afilu dog or beitza sha'olav, even if you just have a fish with eggs smeared on it. They used to do that when they would cook fish. They would smear eggs on it, sort of like the way we smear egg on our chalas. So therefore, Chizkiyah is saying that's good enough for the shnei tavshilin. It's not two separate things. It's just one thing and the glaze on it doesn't matter. Rav Yosef Amar, on the other hand, Rav Yosef says, Tzorich shnei minei basar. You actually need two kinds of meat. Echad zeichel ha-Pesach ve-echad zeichel ha-Chagiga. One to represent the Korban Pesach and one to represent the Korban Chagiga, which were both meat, of course. Ravina Amar, afilo garma uvishula. Ravina says you could even use a piece of meat. Garma literally means a bone, so it means a cut of meat. And the liquid and the gravy that's on it would also count as the shnei tavshilin. Now, we, of course, nowadays, we use a zroya and a beitza. The zroya is, strictly speaking, it should be some people actually have the minhag to use a piece of a lamb. Many kahilas, us included, have the minhag to use a chicken neck or something similar because it sort of resembles an arm. As far as the egg, so it's not clear from the Gemara here how we get to an egg. The Bach talks about, he says, listen, so, well, first of all, when Ravina is saying that a bone, when Ravina is saying a cut of meat and the gravy on it, is Ravina coming to be makel against the other ones and say that you don't even really, that you don't even really need two different kinds of things, the gravy on it will count as a second tabshil, or is he coming to be machmer and saying, unlike some of the other ones, unlike Rav Huna, and Chizkiah, who say that fish or beets and rice would be enough, you davka need some kind of meat. So basically what we do is we follow that. Therefore, we say we do need some kind of meat. But for the second one, listen, I mean, everybody's going to agree that an egg is certainly more important than the gravy on the meat. And therefore, that would be fine. So it turns out that we are doing like Ravina. We're doing sort of a modification of what Ravina is saying. Actually, the Yerushalmi mentions there's a significance to an egg as well. A number of Rishonim talk about the idea the egg also represents mourning for the Beis Mikdash, which we don't have, but also the Yerushalmi combines the two of them together, the egg and the Zroya, that the word for egg in Aramaic is Beya. In fact, some people, when they refer to the Masechta, many people refer to it as Beya, because Beitza is a little bit of an indelicate term for a part of the human anatomy. Anyway, So Beya, though, can also be related to the word Ba'a, which means he wanted. So Ba'a Rachmana, Hashem wanted, L'mifrak Yasana, to redeem us from Mitzrayim, Bidra Meromama, with a powerful arm. Hi, Ellie. So therefore, there's a certain significance in using Davka, an egg, which represents that word Ba'a, and a Zroya, which represents the Zroya Naturya of Hashem. But in principle, based on our Gemara over here, any two, so again, the Halacha, if we say the Halacha is like Ravina, and we would, because he's later than all these other Amiroyim, then it means one of them at least has to be a piece of meat. The other one could be meat, or it could be something else. You also get into the question, what should be done? Now, the one of them should definitely be roasted, because it's meant to represent the Korban Pesach, so we roast it on the coals. The other one, the egg, doesn't need to be roasted. Some say yes. Tosfos discusses that briefly over here. If we say, we had a machlokas earlier in the Masechta, we had a machlokas ben Tema and the Chachamim, whether the Korban Chagiga, the Chagiga Sabah also, which usually accompanies the Korban Pesach, whether that has to be roasted as well, or whether that can be cooked. So if you say it has to be roasted, then it should mean that the egg should have to be roasted as well. On the other hand, Tosfos says maybe not. Maybe both of them actually can be boiled. Maybe it doesn't have to be exactly like the Korban Pesach and the Chagiga, as long as you have two cooked dishes. And after all, the word tavshilin suggests that they're cooked. Then maybe you do that. In fact, it says the Maharshal would do that, because the Maharshal writes in one of his Truvas. That both of these things should be eaten. Now we don't eat the Zroya. We eat the Beitza at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. But we don't eat the Zroya because we're not allowed to eat roast meat on Pesach night, as we learned over the year in the Masechta. So therefore, the Maharshal holds in one of his Trubas that Adrabah, the meat should be cooked rather than roasted. That way you can eat it also on Pesach night, because he holds you need to eat all the Simone Aseder. Lamaisa, we don't hold like him. So we roast the meat. And then as far as the egg, there are different minhagim, whether you roast it or whether you cook it. Tosfos also mentions another point over here. Now, we learned earlier in the Masechta, that when the 14th of Nisan, that when Erev Pesach is Shabbos, like it is this year, you don't bring a Chagiga Sabah also, because unlike the Korban Pesach, that's not Doicha Shabbos. So in a year like this, when the Seder is Motzei Shabbos, should you be making Shnei Tavshilin? On the face of it, maybe you don't need to. You should only need one. On the other hand, Tosfos says, no, don't start making distinctions like that. Adrabah, it makes it look more like as if you're saying this is a Korban Pesach. If you make a point of having only the one on Matzoi Shabbos, then it makes it look like you're as if you're saying this really is a Korban Pesach. And of course, you can't do that because we're outside the Beis Mikdash. So go ahead and have two tavshilin. What do you think? People are going to be mistaken in the following year if the Beis Hamikdash is built between last Pesach and this Pesach, and people are going to think that you bring a chagiga even on Shabbos. No problem. The Beis Din is going to be set up over there. Moshe and Aaron will be with us, and they'll make sure that people don't bring a korban chagiga if they're not supposed to. So on the other hand, Tosfos says, fine, somebody wants to have only one tavshil on Matzoi Shabbos by the Seder, then fine, leave him be. But the general minhag is that you have two tavshilin regardless.
What's so important about the Korban Chagiga for the Seder? I mean, we offer the Korban Chagiga for any Yom Tov, don't
no,
we?
No, because remember, this is not Chagigas Chamisha also that you bring on every other Yom Tov. This is the Chagigas Abba also that we learned earlier in the Masechta. Specifically, you bring it in most years together with the Korban Pesach in order that you should eat the Pesach ala soiva, in order that you should fill up mostly on the Chagiga and then eat the Pesach at the end, which is Derech Gedola. So that Chagiga Sabah also, which is brought most years, is what we want to commemorate on the Seder plate.
So on the morning of the 15th, they used to offer another Korban Chagiga of Yom Tov?
First of all, not the morning. We said the afternoon. We said, according to many opinions, it was the afternoon. But the 14th, Erev Pesach, yes. Besides the Korban Pesach, they would also bring a Korban Chagiga, yes. That's what we were saying earlier. That's what we were learning around Daf Ayin or so, yeah.
No, but on... During Pesach, you don't have to...
During Pesach itself, you have to bring a Korban Chagiga for the fact that you're being Oyla Luregel. Whether you can bring that on Yom Tov or not as a Machlok, as Beshama and Beshillo, actually, I think even Beshama agrees you can bring them on Yom Tov. I don't know, we'll learn about it in Masech Beitza in a few months, Bez Hashem. But in any case, people, you had the entire Pesach to bring that Chagiga. Sometime during Pesach, you had to bring that Chagiga, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Onward. Going back now to the Yerukas. So we talked yesterday about like this. The Mishnah had told us that you eat some chazeres at the beginning of the meal. And we said it doesn't necessarily mean you have to eat chazeres. It means that you eat some kind of vegetable at that point, latmiya tenoikas, in order to make the children wonder what's going on, especially the fact that you're dipping it. We talked about, do you dip it in salt water? Do you dip it in charoses, whatever? And then later on in the meal, later on, you're eating motor. So now let's get back to that and talk about that. So pshita, it's obvious hecha de ikka shau yirokas. If you have other vegetables available by the Seder, mevorach ashau yirokas bore pri hadam of ochil, then first on those other vegetables, which is what we call karpas. We have to remember, by the way, the simone ha-seder that we're familiar with, kadesh, urchatz, karpas, yachas, etc., comes from one of the rishonim. Yesh omerim, it comes from Rashi. Yesh omerim, it comes from Rav Shmuel of Falez, one of the Balei HaTosfos. That represents actually only one opinion among many different opinions of Rishonim of what the order of things should be. First of all, there are a dozen or maybe more Simone HaSeder that were composed by different Rishonim to tell us what the order of things is to do on that night. And some of them are based on different opinions of what you should do. There's a lot of different opinions when it comes to Pesach night of what you should be doing at the different times. For example, we're going to talk about soon as far as the washing. Do you say a bracha on the washing by Urchatz? For example, when it comes to karpas, we talked about, do you eat a kezias of it or less than a kezias? Because it's negeya to the question of whether you make a separate bor pri adama on the morrow, which is now what we're going to be discussing as well. When it comes to yachatz, where do you do it? Where do you do it, et cetera, et cetera. So the Simone HaSeder that we're familiar with are following the opinion of that Rishon, Rashi or Reb Shmuel, as the case may be, of what the order should be, and that became generally accepted. But we should realize now, as we're going through the Gemara, that there actually are many different other opinions about many details of it. Okay. So, pshita hecha de'ika shau yirokas, it's obvious that if you have other vegetables available, which you're going to eat at the point of the Seder that we call karpas, mevorach ashau yirokas bore pri ha'adama, then there's no question. You say bore pri ha'adama on those other vegetables, v'ochil, then you eat them, v'hodim mevorach alachilas morer v'ochil, and then you say alachilas morer, and later on in the meal, you don't say another bore pri ha'adama. So that bor pri adama that you say on karpas also patters the morer, and why it patters the morer, actually there are two different understandings of it among the Rishonim. One of them is because you're having in mind the morer now, and even the fact that you eat, even the fact that you're saying the Haggadah in the middle, even the fact that you're saying Maggid in the middle is not, and even the fact that eventually you're washing is not considered a hefsik. The other way of looking at it, which Tosfos discusses over here, is that maybe in fact it would be considered a hefsik, and the reason why you wouldn't say hadama on the morer is because it we talked about yesterday, and actually I said it a bit wrongly over there, is Because you washed for bread, and therefore, so you washed for matzah, and therefore that includes everything else that's served as a part of the meal. And since you're required to eat maror on that night, then it comes out that eating maror is part of the meal. It's dvarim aboyim b'seich hasoda machmas hasoda. Therefore, the bracha on the bread patters it. The nafkamina between those two opinions is what would happen if you said bor nefashis after the karpas. Would you make another bracha bor pri hadama on the maror? According to the first opinion, you wouldn't, because you. According to the first opinion, you would rather. According to the second opinion, you wouldn't, because it's anyway part of the meal that began with matzah. This is why it says in Shulchan Aruch, because you have those two different opinions, because of that is why we don't want to make a bor nefashis after the karpas, and because of that, in turn, is why we eat less than a kezias of it in order not to have to make a bor achrona and not get ourselves into that suffix. So getting back to the Gemara. So again, if you have other vegetables, then obviously it's better to not eat maror at this point in the Seder, because you're going to be eating maror later on for the mitzvah of maror. So therefore, better now you should be eating some other vegetable and say a bor pri hadama on that. And then that way you'll pater the maror with that. V'ochil, and then so later on you say alachilas maror only, v'ochil, and you eat the maror. But the question is, heicha deleka elachasamai. What if all you have is lettuce or one of the other minim for maror? So what do you do when it comes to the karpas step of the seder? Amar Rav Huna, mevorech me'ikra amoro ber pri hadama v'ofil. What you do is you first make ber pri hadama and you eat it at that point in the seder between kiddush and magid. Ulvasayif mevorech alei alachelas maror v'ofil. Later on, you say alachelas maror and you eat some more of it. Which Tosfos says, Rav Huna holds, now we learned yesterday, Rav Shlokish holds mitzvah tzrichas kavana, that to be yotze the mitzvah, you have to actually have in mind that you're going to be yotze at that point. So he would hold, therefore, that you eat it the first time, not having in mind that you're going to be yotze the mitzvah of morrow with it. And later on, you are having in mind to use the mitzvah of morrow, therefore, that's where you say alachelas morrow. Maskiflor of Chista, but Rav Chista asks on that, how could that be? What's the logic? After you filled up on it, after you ate some of it before, then you're first going to say a bracha on it? It's not right. The whole point is that it should be when you're making the bracha is the first time you're eating mar. Ela Amar Rav Chista meikra mevarach alei bor pri adama ve'ala achilas maror v'ochel. What you do is, says Rav Chista, first you make a bracha bor pri adama and ala achilas maror at that point in the Seder, after Kiddush and after Kaddish and after Urchatz, you say both brachas, so you switch around the order, you say bor pri adama and at that point you also say ala achilas maror v'ochel, then you eat from that maror, all of a sudden, ochel achilas chasa b'lo bracha. Later on, when it comes to the regular step of maror in the Seder after matzah, then at that point you eat more maror without a bracha, because after all you still do need to dip it twice, so you still need to have matbilin halayla as a shtei from him. So therefore, but Rav Chista is saying not like Rav Huna, where you're going to first eat from it without alachilas maror, and only later on are you going to eat it with alachilas maror. No, to begin with, you eat it with both brachas, hadama and alachilas maror, and then later on you eat some more of it in its proper place in the Seder. So Tosfos again points out Rav Chista would also agree that mitzvahs tzriches kavana. Otherwise we could have just said that mitzvahs tzriches kavana. If he held mitzvahs ain't tzriches kavana, then never mind. He's already yotze the first time anyway, so it's not even a matter of that he filled up on the first one. Tosfos actually has an opinion, and this is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, which again is something that I said wrongly yesterday, is that what you do in that case, you still eat less than a kezias of it by karpas. It's true, it's not a different vegetable. You're eating maror rather than potatoes or onions or celery or whatever else you're supposed to eat for karpas. But what you do is at this point, you do make both brachas, like Rav Chista said. Well, actually, let's continue the Gemara first, and then that says, which says the halacha is like Rav Chista, and then we'll explain that. So the Gemara says, Besura of Avdi Kravuna in Surah. Actually, it says here in the Gemara Surya, but that's a printer's mistake. It's supposed to be Surah. So in Surah, they did like Ravuna, which was that in that case you first eat it by karpas, and then later on you make alachilas morer and eat it by morer. Rav Sheshes Breid Rav Yeshua Ovid Krav Chista. On the other hand, Rav Sheshes Breid Rav Yeshua acted like Rav Chista, that you say Alachilas Moro the first time and then eat it, and then later on you eat it later on in the Seder without any brachas. V'hilchsa kavaseder Rav Chista. The halacha is in fact like Rav Chista. So that's how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. Although Tosfos over here mentions, that's what I was going to say, is Tosfos mentions a modification of what Rav Chista is saying. What you do is the first time when you say ha'adama and alachilas moro, you eat less than a kazayas of it. Just like regular, we eat less than a kazayas of karpas. The same way here, we eat less than a kazayas of moro. That way, again, we don't get into the question of having to make a bracha achroin on it. Meanwhile, later on, when we eat it, we won't have to make another bracha. Ah, you have a huge hefsik of the Haggadah over there. Doesn't matter, Tosfos says. The same way as, for example, when it comes to shofar, we say the bracha, the Shmaya Kol shofar, and we hear the Tkiyas Miyushav. Only later on, only much later, do we hear the other Tkiyas during Shemana Esrei and during Chazaras HaShatz. And still, they're all covered by the one bracha at the beginning. The same way over here, as long as you ate some of the murr at the beginning, so you're not eating a full kazayas because you still want to have that you're going to be eating murr in its proper place in the Seder, but you're eating less than a kazayas, that's good enough for now that at least you can say you've started on the mitzvah, and therefore that's what you do at that point. So that's how it says in Shulchan Aruch to do. So the Gemara points out, Rav Acha Brei D'Rava Mahadar Ashal Yerokas, Rav Acha Brei D'Rava would Davka go and look for other vegetables to use for karpas, la puki nafshim plugta, to keep himself away from the machloikas. Because again, you have this machloikas of Rav Huna and Rav Chista, what you should do. So even though the halacha was paskim like Rav Chista, Rav Acha Brei D'Rava didn't want to get into that. So of course, we use other vegetables also when possible. And then on top of that, now you have the machloikas we've shown him that I was talking about before, what the reason is why you don't say Bera Pri Hadama later on the morer, whether it's because you are in fact pattering it with this one, or whether it's because it's being pattered by the bracha hamotzi on the matzah, and therefore because of that is why we eat less than a kazayis of karpas, and don't make that way we don't have to make a bracha achrona afterwards, and that way we're not getting into the suffix of whether to make a new bora pri hadama when it comes tomorrow. Okay, new discussion. Omer avina, omer li
mishaushi during a regular week, let's say, when you eat a kazayis or more than a kazayis and you know you're going to wash, you don't have to make a bracha acharona. So why would you be during the seder?
Who says you don't have to make a bracha acharona?
Because you're going to be patur by mochi.
And besides, maybe, okay, but even if that's the case, here you know there's going to be a long hefsik. You know there's going to be a haggadah. And there's going to be a Haggadah and Halal, which is, Tosfos discusses over here, those are a major hefsek. But you said
that hefsek won't count.
So there's two different opinions about it. There's two different opinions.
Fine.
One second. So there's two different opinions of Rishonim. Do we say that the hefsek doesn't matter, and therefore the Bera Pri Hadama over the Karpas will automatically include the Morer? Or is it that, no, it would be a hefsek, and the reason why you don't have to is because you're saying Hamotzi, and that patters everything that comes during the meal. If you take that second view of it, then it would mean, so now if you take the first view, then it would mean if you end up saying Bora Nefoshes, if you do end up saying Bora Nefoshes on the Karpas, and you should, because you know there's going to be a long hefsek ahead, and therefore you shouldn't lachatchila go without an after bracha. It's one thing in your case where you're going to be washing right away. Then The result would be, according to that opinion, you'd have to say Hadama on the Morer again. If you say that no matter what, you never say Hadama on the Morer because you already washed for bread, then it doesn't matter. So we want to avoid making brachas that are unnecessary, that might be a bracha levatola. Therefore, we want to avoid having to make a bracha achroina over karpas. We also want to avoid having to make a new bracha rishona, a new bar pri adama on the morer. Because of that, what it says in Shulchan Aruch, what we do to avoid that, we make sure to eat less than a kazayas of karpas. That way, we have no chiyuv of a bracha achroina. And that way, we're able to say, when it comes to morer, regardless, whatever the reason is, whether it's because we remotzi it with the Adama on Karpas, or whether it's because we're motzi it with the Hamotzi on the Matzah, either way, we're not making a new bracha now.
But either way, even if we eat less than a kazais of the karpas, it doesn't satisfy the opinion that says that you don't need to make a bracha on the maror once you've made motzi.
No, it does, because either way, then the point is you're not making a bracha on the maror. But then the reason would be, so the reason could be either because you already made it on the karpas and it wasn't a hefsek, or because you anyway don't make a bracha on things that come during the meal. So therefore, you're covered according to both possibilities. The fact that you're eating less than a kazayas of kayapas itself doesn't matter, because you're not required to eat it at that point. The whole reason you're eating it, as we said, is in order to make the kids curious. So eating less than a kazayas accomplishes that just as well as a kazayas.
Right.
Okay, onward. Amar Ravina. Amar Lita Masharish. I think there's actually even some place where it's brought, right? I think there's actually even some place in a letter where the Rebbe writes what a person should do if he accidentally did say, the Rebbe talks about what a person should do if he accidentally did make a bracha by Urchatz. If he accidentally said Al Natilas Yadayim, then you have other dinim of what he should do. Then maybe he should eat a kazayis of karpas and then do something with the mar. I don't remember all the details, but just the bottom line is be careful during Urchatz not to say a bracha, because then you're going to get into that whole suffix. The bracha over urchatz we're going to discuss later on Omid Beis. We're going to talk about that point.
I'm sure that okay. The children would have many questions to ask.
I guess that's true. Okay, onward. Amar Ravina. Amar Lita Mesharshia Breder of Nassan. Hochi Amar Hillel Mishmei de Gemara. This is what Hillel said in the name of Gemara, meaning in the name of what he learned in the yeshiva. Now, Hillel over here is not, we're going to have soon on the Amud, we're going to have Hillel, the Hillel Azokan, the original one with the Bar Plukta of Shammai. We're going to have him soon. Right now, the Hillel we're talking about is actually one of the Amiroyim. Now there was a Hillel who was later on, who was a descendant of the original Hillel. He was Nasi in his times. There is he's the one who set up the calendar as we have it. So it could be that this is him, or it could be some other Amora named Hillel. Anyway, so he says, Loi nichruch inish matzo mora bahadi adot even nech. A person should not wrap matzah and mora together and eat them. Now, of course, this is going to be different than what we do when it comes to korach, so we're going to get to that soon. But this Hillel, the Amora, says you shouldn't do that. Mishum desviral on matzah bezman hazeh deraisa umoro derabbanon. We hold that even nowadays, when there's no Beis Mikdash and no Korban Pesach, matzah is still deraisa, whereas moro nowadays is only derabbanon. Now, as far as matzah, we're going to have at the very end of the Masechta, we're going to have an opinion that says that matzah nowadays is also derabbanon. But the majority opinion is that not, because matzah, the Torah mentions specifically in other places, bo'erev toichlu matzah. So that means regardless, Korban Pesach or not, you have a mitzvah to eat matzah on Pesach night, as opposed to Moror. Whenever the Torah mentions Moror, it's always in connection with the Korban Pesach. Al Matzis Umroim Yechluhu, it says by Pesach Sheni. So Moror is not an independent mitzvah, it's an accompaniment to the Korban Pesach. No Korban Pesach, no Moror. This that we eat Moror nowadays is only Dirabon. So now the problem is, Hillel says, what's going to happen now is the morrow, which is only dirabanon, is going to be mevatel the matzah d'oraisa. Now, if the morrow was not a mitzvah at all, even dirabanon, if it was a matter of reshus, then for sure it would be mevatel the matzah. But we're saying, even though it's dirabanon, the fact is it's dirabanon means that it's not required apitoda anymore. So therefore, in effect, what you have is you're having something else which is not a mitzvah d'oraisa combining together with the matzah, and therefore it's mevatel it. If both of them were d'oraisa, then it wouldn't be mevatel, because one d'oraisa is not mevatel another. But because one of them is d'oraisa and the other is dirabanon, then therefore it's going to be mevatel it. There is a Tosfos elsewhere in Zvachim that talks about the reason why it's mevatel may not be a matter of halacha, because one is d'oraisa and one is d'rabbanon, but a matter of taste. Boshet, the maror has a very sharp taste, a very overpowering taste, so it overpowers the taste of the matzah, which leads Tosfos to say over there that maybe this that Hillel is saying over here is maybe only if you're having exactly a kazayis of matzah wrapped together with maror, then you'd have a problem, because now the maror is mevatel some of the taste of that matzah, and therefore you're not tasting a full kazayis of matzah. So they say over there, maybe if you're eating more than a kazayis, there wouldn't be a problem, because you still have a kazayis that's unaffected by the maror. So so that's one way of understanding it. The other way is we're saying over here that it doesn't matter, just the fact that you have them mixed together, no matter how much matzah you have, is mevatel the matzah, and therefore it's no good. And the Braisa continues, not the Braisa, Hillel continues, now, even according to the opinion that mitzvahs don't cancel each other out, so therefore, what's the problem? Matzah is a mitzvah and morah is a mitzvah. Hani mili daraisa. That would only apply to things daraisa. We would say that if you do, you have two things that are both where you have to eat them both daraisa, or you have to do them both daraisa. So one of them is not mavatol the other. That would apply if both of them are daraisa or both of them are dirabanan. But if one is daraisa and the other is dirabanan, which means therefore the dirabanan one relative to the daraisa is as if it wasn't required at all, then osi dirabanan or mavatol the daraisa. So then the result is the dirabanan one, the murder, comes in as mavatol the daraisa one, the matzah, and therefore the result is that you're not yotze the mitzvah of eating matzah. So therefore this Hillel is saying, this Amora Hillel is saying you shouldn't do that. Okay. So the Gemara says now, man tana the shamat le mitzvahs ein mevatel zuasu. Now, we just said that there's an opinion that mitzvahs are not mevatel one another. Which tana do we find that says that concept? That if you have, if you have two mitzvahs daraisa that you eat together, then they're not mevatel each other. As opposed to, in other words, there would be other opinions that say that you would, that even mitzvahs daraisa are mevatel each other. So the answer is Hillel. That would be according to Hillel. And here we don't mean Hillel the Amora like before. Here we mean Hillel Hazaket, the Tana. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, Amru Olav al Hillel, they said about Hillel, Shoya Kurchen Bevasachas Vaithlan, he would wrap them together and eat them. Shenema al Matzah Samurim Yechluhu. So therefore, so he held, since it doesn't sound, the Pasuk could have said Yechlu. So instead it says Yechluhu. So he understands that it means that they all have to be wrapped together. Now, what do we mean by all of them? So you actually have a machlokas rishonim, Rashi and the Rashbam say over here that he would wrap together Pesach, Matzah, and Morer all together. One interesting point that the Rishonim say, given that you have to eat at least a kazayas of each of them, and we know that a person can't swallow more than two kazayasim at a time, if we say that he wrapped Pesach and Matzah and Morah together, how would he do it? How would he physically swallow it? And the answer is basically that when you're chewing them, then they get compressed down, and therefore you're able to swallow more. Anyway, that's how Rashi and the Rashbam and a number of other Rishonim learn it. The Rambam and a few other Rishonim learn that actually what it means that is that Hillel would wrap together only the Rabbi Chananel, for example, says it over here. The Rambam also brings it that Hillel would wrap together only matzah and morer. Now, of course, nowadays we don't have a Korban Pesach, so when we do Korach, anyway, we're doing only matzah and morer. But actually, a nafkamina for it in Shulchan Aruch, it says is what's the lashon that we say? Do we say when we say Kenasa Hillel? Do we say Kenasa Hillel Haya Korach matzah u'morer va'ochel biyachad, or do we say Pesach matzah u'morer va'ochel biyachad? So in Shulchan Aruch, it brings both possibilities. It says that maybe the preferred thing is to say matzah and morer because you can't be sure whether he wrapped the Pesach. L'maisa, in the Siddur, the Alter Rebbe was machria that you say Pesach as well, and that's fine, even though we don't have a Korban Pesach because we're only describing what Hillel did, and that's what we do, and I think that's what most nuschois do is they say Pesach matzah or morer. I'm not sure about that. Some of them, some nuschois only say matzah or morer. Okay. Anyway, so the point is, so Hillel used to wrap them together. So why we do that? We're going to get to that in a minute. But the point is, that's what Hillel used to do. He held the way to be yotze the mitzvah of matzah and murder when both of them are daraisa, as they were in his times, because he lived in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash. Then. So he holds those mitzvahs are not mevatel each other because at that point they're both daraisa. And he holds that's the way to fulfill the mitzvah. An interesting point, by the way, is why the Gemara is bringing the pasuk al matzah sumerim yechluhu, and we also do in Kenasa Hillel, which is the pasuk about Pesach Sheni. Why don't we instead bring the pasuk by Pesach Rishon umatzas al merim yechluhu? So a couple of the Achronim, the Chassam Sofer, the Rashash talk about an angle on it, that the reason is because the Pasuk, by Pesach Sheni, what it is it's showing us you're only eating matzah because you have a Korban Pesach. As we said, Pesach Rishon, you have to eat matzah regardless whether you have a Korban Pesach or not. Pesach Sheni, you're not obligated to eat matzah unless you have Korban Pesach that you're eating it with. So therefore, we bring that pasuk because that more clearly stresses the idea that the matzah and the maror and maybe the Pesach are being eaten together. There is a vort on it from Reb Shalom and from Reb Sar Shalom, the first Belzer Rebbe, that says the reason why in Kenos Ahilol, why we use that pasuk is because it's also an implicit tefillah to Hashem. Right now, we don't have a Beis Mikdash and we're not eating the Pesach. But it should be that al matzah sumroim yechluhu, that even this year, come Pesach Sheni, which is what that pasuk is referring to, we should be able to eat the Korban Pesach with matzahs and maror, because between now and Pesach Sheni, the Beis Mikdash should be rebuilt. It says further, they brought report of this to Rabbi Yosef Shaul Natanzon, one of the great Gaonim of that time, who was the Rav of Lvov. He said, one second, though, the Tzibur doesn't make Pesach Sheni. So if the Beis Mikdash is built between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, we're not going to be bringing a Korban Pesach anyhow. And they brought that information back to Rabbi Sar Shalom, and he said, no, actually, he pointed to Yerushalmi that brings an opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that, yes, as a matter of fact, if the Beis Mikdash is built between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, then, in fact, the Tzibur does bring Pesach Sheni. So that pasuk is kind of an implicit tefillah that it should actually be that we should be able to mekayim that pasuk by Pesach Sheni of eating the Korban Pesach with matzah and maror. Okay, getting back to the Gemara. So now Rabbi Yechanan says you should know that the other Chachamim disagree with Hillel. They say that mitzvahs are mevatel each other, or at least there's two ways of understanding. Does it mean that they hold that mitzvahs are mevatel each other, or does it mean that they hold that you don't have to eat them together? So anyway, D'tanya, we learn in a braisa. You would think that you should wrap the matzah and maror and maybe the Pesach together and eat them the way that Hillel did it. No, Talmud Lema al matzah sumroim yechlu. Therefore, the pasuk says you should eat it with matzahs and maror, which means afilu zebef ne'atzmai v'zebef ne'atzmai. So yechlu hu implies you should eat it, meaning each one by itself. So therefore, afilu zebef ne'atzmai means even each one by itself. Now, when we say even, doesn't mean, according to that, that the Chachamim are saying that you could be yotze either way. What they mean is it means the pasuk is stressing that the right way to eat it is zebef ne'atzmai, zebef ne'atzmai. Don't think like Hillel that it means you eat them all together. But maskifla Rav Ashi yihochi mai afilu. Still, Rav Ashi doesn't like that. The word afilu seems to imply that the Chachamim are saying you could do it either way. You could do it all together, or you could do it separately. Now, so in other words, according to the Rashbam, Rav Ashi is saying, fine, I agree. The other Chachamim disagree with. I agree with what Rabbi Yechanan is saying, that the other Chachamim disagree with Hillel, but you can't prove it from this Braisa, because this Braisa could mean they're saying you could do it either way. It doesn't mean that you have to do it. That it doesn't mean that you have to do it that way. Tosfos learns differently and says that no, the Bnei HaYeshiva understood Rabbi Yechanan to be saying that the Chachamim would say you're not allowed to wrap them together because according to the Chachamim, mitzvahs mevatlas zuatzu. And if you're eating matzah and maror together, the result is that you're not yotze either one of them. You're not yotze matzah because the maror is mevatel the matzah, or the matzah is mevatel the maror. Each one is mevatel the other one. So now Rav Ashi is saying that no, not necessarily. That Rabbanan would hold, Rav Ashi is saying that you could be yotze either one. So the difference would be Hillel is saying you must wrap them, and the Chachamim are saying you don't have to, but you could wrap them. Anyway, Ela Omer Rav Ashi, Hai Tana Hochi Katoni. So no, Rav Ashi says this Braisa that we just quoted, that Rabbi Yechanan quoted, that Braisa means like this. This Braisa, it says on the side over here, a Girsa that a number of Rishonim have, that Hai Tana de Hillel, this Tana actually goes according to Hillel, and he means like this. You would think that a person is not Yotze at all unless he wraps them together and eat them the way that Hillel did. So it would mean, no, the Pasuk is saying, and the word Yechluhu, you should eat it, implies even if each one of them is by itself. So therefore, the Chachamim would be saying that you could be Yotze either way. Now, Hashta de la Itma Hilchsa, Loike Hillel v'Loike Rabbanan. Now, the bottom line is the halacha has not been decided like either Hillel or like the Rabbanan, because after all, we have a braisa over here that goes according to Hillel and is a stam braisa, so it represents an opinion of a rabbim as well. So you have rabbim against rabbim. You can't say it's a yochid rabbim, aloch rabbim. So therefore, so if the halacha was only like Hillel, then what we would do is we would eat matzah and moro together. We would say alachilas matzah and alachilas moro, and then we would eat them together. If the halacha was only like the chachamim, then we would eat matzah separately and make alachilas matzah on it, and we would make alachilas moro and eat moro, and we wouldn't have korach. Now that the halacha has not been established like either one, then we have to do like both. Mevorach alachilas matzah v'ochel. First, you make the bracha alachilas matzah, and you eat some matzah. Then you say alachilas moro and you eat moro. V'hoder ochel matzah v'chasa v'hadi adodi b'loy bracha. Then you eat them together as korech zeichel mikdash kehillel, to remember how Hillel did it in the time of the Bais Mikdash. And that way you're covering all your bases, because again, we said before, matzah nowadays is daraisa and moro is only derabanan. Even if it's true, even if the chachamim agree that you could eat them together like Hillel did, you just don't have to. The problem is, again, we said before, matzah is daraisa, moro is derabanan. So the moro derabanan, we mean vatal, the matzah daraisa. Because of that, we can't just say, well, let's do like Hillel, and even the chachamim would agree that you can do it that way. No, we have to do it both ways in order to cover all our bases. It does bring in Shulchan Aruch an opinion that says that because of that, you shouldn't talk any unnecessary talk from matzah until after korech, because after all, according to that, the korech is meant to be covered by the brachas on the matzah and the moro. However, it says in Shulchan Aruch, however, it also says you don't have to do that. It's better to do that, other things being equal, but you're not required to, because primarily this that we're doing the korech nowadays is only zeichel l'mikdash, is only a zeichel for what Hillel did in the time of the Bais Mikdash. It's not strictly required up yalacha, and therefore it's not that bad if you speak after matzah or after moro before korech.
Why can't you say that al matzah omerim yachluhu means yachluhu the korban pesach rather than something else?
Well, fine, but still the earlier in the pasuk, that's the Rashbam explains the pasuk earlier. The earlier in that pasuk is talking about the korban pesach. Va'ochol asabasa balayla azet sli'eshu matzis amarerim yichluhu, or by the pesach sheni b'chodesh sheni ba'abo asiyem ben habayim yasu oisei al matzis amarerim yichluhu. So we know that the subject of the pasuk is the korban pesach. So why would it have to repeat yichluhu? It could have just said yichlu. Then they. For the Chachamim are taking that to mean that you have to eat each one separately, or at least that you could eat each one separately, rather than like Hillel that says that you eat them together. So the bottom line is that's what you do. So we do it that way. The Rambam actually writes that when the Bais Mikdash was standing, then you wouldn't do them separately. You would actually do korech together to begin with. The Rambam says that given that we're saying, according to the Rambam's understanding of the Gemara over here, that even the Chachamim agree that you could eat them together, because again, we're saying ein mitzvos mevatel zuas zu. We're just saying you don't have to, unlike Hillel. Then the Rambam writes that when the Bais Mikdash was standing, to begin with, they would do like Hillel, and you would say alachilas matzah and alachilas moro, and then you'd eat them together as korech. After the Bais Mikdash is destroyed, because you have the problem that now moro is only derabanan, is why we have to do them separately. Okay. Onward. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Oshia. Kol shetibulei b'mashka tzorach netilas yadayim. Whenever you're dipping something in liquid, you need netilas yadayim. For example, you're dipping vegetables into kutach, which is made from milk, or vinegar, which is made from wine. So now the problem is, the problem is, Rashi and the Rashbam describe briefly, the problem is that your hands in general, without washing your hands, midirabanan, your hands are considered a sheni latumah. Because, not just because you may have touched something tameh, but because you touched covered areas of your body, your hands are dirty, so therefore the Chachamim didn't want you to be touching truma without washing your hands. Now, the problem is also that if your hands are shnius, now, first of all, midrabanan, only midrabanan is there such a thing of your hands being tamei without the rest of your body being tamei, but also only midrabanan is there a concept which we talked about extensively in the sugya of Rav Chanina Skana Koyanim earlier in our Masechta, that liquids become tameh from tameh dika hands, and they become a rishon, the truma. So even though usually we're used to truma goes downward, a rishon begets a sheni, which begets a shlishi, etc. Here what you have is your hands are shnius. If they touch liquid, one of the shiva mashkim, then they make it a rishon, the truma. So now the result is, so because of that, you have to wash first before you, you're going to eat that food in order not to make the, liquid on it a rishon l'truma. Tosfos gets into a discussion over here that maybe what it is it's not so much because of kedusha, it's more matter. Tosfos says that maybe you're not allowed to eat chulin that are tameh. Now, even though technically al pi halacha you are allowed to, but you really shouldn't, as a matter of kedusha, you really shouldn't eat food that is tameh. Now, which gets Tosfos into a discussion. Now we're talking over here about karpas. We're talking about over here washing before karpas, which you're going to dip in salt water or in charoses, as the case may be. The problem is that nowadays we're all tamei anyway. So nowadays, so if according to Tosfos' understanding, the reason why we're washing hands over here is because we're not allowed to eat tamei food. Well, nowadays we do eat tamei food because we don't really have an option. So if we're going to wash over here, we should be doing it without a bracha, because if you wash with a bracha, because who says that you're required to wash for that nowadays? Whereas according to Rashi and the Rashbam's understanding, the Pashtus, you would make a bracha because in general you have a takana of the chachamim that you should wash before you eat something dipped in liquid. But according to Tosfos, it's not really so much a separate takana to do that. It's more a matter of that you're not allowed to eat tamei food when you can help it. Well, in that case, nowadays we're eating tamei food regardless. So then that washing is only a vestige, and therefore there'd be no reason to say a bracha on it, which is why we don't say a bracha on urchatz because in deference to the opinion of Tosfos that you may not be required to do this washing at all. So this is why we have the minhag that by urchatz we don't say al natilas yadayim. You know, we always grow up as kids learning that it's because you're only washing for vegetables, you're not washing for bread, and therefore it's not as much of a chiyuv. So now we see it's not really so much that, it's more based on what Tosfos is saying, that really the chiyuv is not so much for the wet vegetables themselves. The chiyuv is more because you're not allowed to eat food that's tamei, and therefore, but nowadays that we're all tamei, then that really doesn't exist. So Amar Papa Shmamina. We see from this that Rabbi Elazar is saying, "Hai chasa tzarech l'shakue b'charoses." We see from that, therefore, that the lettuce or whatever we're using for maror, you have to completely dip it into charoses mishum kafa. Now, the reason b'chlal why you're dipping it in charoses is because of kappa that is in the chazeres. So what is kappa? Rashi explains, and Rashbam's first explanation is that it means a sharpness. You have, like, for example, the same way as onions have a certain sharpness to them, and then when you eat them and your eyes start watering, it's the same way with lettuce and other kinds of maror, that the sap in it is very strong, and therefore you dip it in charoses in order to moderate the effect of that. Then the Rashbam brings from Rabbeinu Chananel, and also Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Chananel a different explanation, that this kappa is actually a kind of worm that lives in chazeres. Now, worms, what do you mean you're not allowed to eat them? But the answer is, since they're living the whole time in the lettuce and they never went out of it, then therefore it's actually mutter to eat. However, on the other hand, that kind of worm is very dangerous for you, and therefore putting it in charoses kills the worm, and therefore it removes the danger. An interesting point actually is, now we talked about before, if you're going to use maror instead of karpas because you don't have a different vegetable, why don't we have, so Tosfos had discussed over there that you don't necessarily have to dip it in charoses, you just dip it in salt water or vinegar. Why aren't we concerned about kappa there? So Tosfos actually explains that most of the bichlal, for that and for other reasons, Tosfos says most vegetables don't have kappa in them at all. So usually we can be soimach on that. But when it comes to when the chachamim were misakin, that we have to eat maror by the seder, originally daraisa, nowadays derabanan, then the chachamim didn't want to take the chance, and therefore they told us to dip it in charoses. The Rosh brings something from Rabbeinu Yonah that expands on that a little bit. When you're eating something derech rishus, when you're eating something you feel like eating lettuce throughout the year, fine, you want to take the risk and not dip it in charoses, gezuntehei, don't. But on Pesach night, where the Chachamim are making a takana for the entire Jewish people, that you have to have a Seder and you have to eat and you have to eat charoit and you have to eat chazeres, so then the Chachamim didn't want even the slightest possibility of a chance that there might, that somebody might be in danger from it, and therefore they said you have to dip it in charoses. So now, getting back to what we're saying in the Gemara over here about the washing, so Rav Papa is saying like this: the charoses is considered one of the shiva mashkim because you put wine in it. So therefore, obviously the implication must be that you have to dip the maror completely into the charoses. So therefore, every part of it is wet with the charoses, and therefore, so if you touch it with your hands not washed, then you're going to be metame the liquid on it, and then it's going to be metame it itself. If you didn't need to dip it in all the way, why would you need to wash your hands? After all, you don't necessarily touch the wet part anyway. So that shows that you have to dip the whole thing in charoses. Now, of course, we do the washing before karpas, and we're not dipping the karpas in charoses anyway. But first of all, I mean, salt water is also one of the shiva mashkim because it contains water, so you do have the same issue. But also, again, we did talk about before that if you don't have other vegetables, then you are using lettuce. And then in that case, we said maybe you, and Rashi and the Rashbam Bechlal had learned that the first vegetable you dip in charoses anyway, or Gemara could be a proof for that, because here we're talking about dipping in charoses. But the fact is, again, if you don't have any other vegetable, then you do dip it in charoises. So therefore, the Gemara can be talking in terms of charoises. But anyway, the point is, Rav Papa is saying, since we're saying that you have to wash for it, that must necessarily mean the whole thing has to be dipped into the charoises. Therefore, the whole thing is wet. And if you touched any part of it with your hands being sheni latruma, then you're going to make the liquid erishin, and it's going to be matami the vegetable. But the Gemara says, why? Maybe you don't need to dip it all the way into the charoses, because in fact the kappa merecha mayis, the kappa, whether it means the sharpness or whether it means this worm will die, in other words, will be weakened, die if it means a worm, weakened if it means the sharp taste, anyway, will be destroyed by the smell of the charoses. So maybe you don't need to dip the whole thing in charoses in order to take away that danger. So then why would you need to wash before it? Dilma mashakule, because you might dip the whole thing in the charoses, but not necessarily that you're required to dip the whole thing in the charoses. Maybe in terms of kappa, all you need to do is dip a little bit of it in, and then the smell of it is enough to take away the sharpness so that it won't be dangerous to you, or to kill those worms so that they won't be dangerous to you. Okay. So nevertheless, it does say in Shulchan Aruch that you do need to dip it a substantial amount in charoses, because the Gemara says Vidilma, Rav Papa had said as a statement that you have to put it all the way in, and the Gemara is saying Vidilma, maybe not, but you know the suffix of the Gemara doesn't take away from the Vaday. So you do have to dip it, you know, maybe not all the way, but you do have to dip it a substantial amount into the charoses, and the same way when it comes to the karpas, you dip it a substantial amount into the salt water. Okay. V'amar Papa, also the Papa says another din in this connection, loy nish inish moro b'charoises, you shouldn't leave the moro inside the charoises too long, dilma agav chalya de tavlin, because the sweetness of the charoises, and also the fact that you have spices in it, mevatel leila merore, it'll be mevatel the taste of the moro. Now, we don't mean bitul like we talk about on Amun Aleph, where one mitzvah is mevatel another, because we're following over here the opinion that charoises is not a particular mitzvah, it's just more practical thing to get rid of the kappa. It's more that we're saying, practically speaking, though, the sweet charoises is going to take away the taste of the bitter moro. In a tam moro, you need to have a taste of moro, veleka, and you're not going to have it. So therefore, you shouldn't leave it. You shouldn't leave it in there too long. And for that reason, also, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you should shake off as much as possible of charoses before you actually eat the moro, which is what we do. Okay. Another thing, this Gemara says, ad bereid of chista l'rabbana ukva, Rav Chista introduced Rabbana Ukva ahead of him. There's a few different explanations what Adbrei mean. One of them is that it means like he honored him to speak in his presence. Another explanation Rashi mentions elsewhere means he took him on a walk, whatever. The Darash, and he Darshan, this Rabbana Ukva was actually the Reish Galusa. So, or somebody from the family of the Reish Galosa. So, Rav Chista gave him this honor, the Darash, and he Darshin, not al yada b'tibul rishin, not al yada b'tibul sheni. Even if you washed your hands before the first dipping by Urchatz, you still need to wash them again by Rochza before you eat, before, well, tibul sheni really means the second dipping, which means before Maror, but Tosfos points out when you get down to it, really, I mean, you need to wash for Hamotzi. But the point is, in other words, you shouldn't think just because I washed the first time, I'm not obligated to wash the second time because my hands are still clean. No, you still need to wash. So Amrur Rabbanan Kameh to Rapapa. So the Chachamim said this over to Rapapa, and they said, Haba Alma Itmar. It must be that this statement of Rabbanu Ukvas is actually talking about throughout the rest of the year. If you decided one time before your meal to eat some, to dip some vegetables and eat them as an appetizer, and later on you plan to do more, then it would mean you have to wash again. The Isakadai the Chacha Itmar. These Chachamim said to Rabbi Papa, if what Rabbanu Ukva is saying refers Davka to Pesach night, why should you need to wash again before Matzah and before Maror? You already washed your hands once. Your hands and pastures are still tahor and clean, so there'd be no reason to wash it again. So it must be the rest of the year it happens. If you dip vegetables and then later on you decide you want to eat more dipped vegetables, fine. We could say that you were masiach das and you didn't necessarily have in mind to keep your hands clean, and therefore you might have touched some covered part of your body. But on Pesach night, you know that later on you're going to be doing another dipping, so there'd be no reason to say that you have to wash again. That was what the Chachamim said to Rapapa, but Rapapa said to them, Adraba, Hochi, on the contrary, what Rabbanu Ukva is saying is actually referring to here to the Seder night. If you say it refers to other times during the year, lomali treti buli. Why mention two dippings at all? During the rest of the year, you don't have to dip twice. So if you're going to say it's referring to the Seder night, like Rapapa is saying, until Sidaim Tre Zimni Lomali, then Taka, you have to wonder, why should you have to wash again by Rochza? Ha Moshala Yod Chod Zimna. Didn't you already wash once by Urchatz? But Pashtos, your hands are still clean, so what's the problem? So the answer is Amri. So they say, the Bnei Yeshiva answered, Kiven de Boy Lamemer Agadta Vahalela, since you have to say the whole Magid and Halel, Dilma Asuchi Askeladite, you may have had a Hesach Hadas Vinoga and touched some part of your body that normally is kept covered and that is dirty. And therefore, because of that, you have to wash again by Rochza to be on the safe side. Which actually it mentions in Shulchan Aruch, because of that, if you know for a fact that you didn't, then when you're washing for Rochza, you wouldn't make a bracha. Because how could you make a bracha when you're only doing it to be on the safe side? But only b'derech klal, we say, yodayim askonias hein, your hands move around a lot and they touch things without you noticing. So therefore, the likelihood is that you did, even though the Gemara is saying about your dilma, maybe it's almost a certainty that they did, therefore you wash with a bracha. But if in fact you know for a fact that you didn't touch any mekoymas hamachosim, any covered parts of the body between urchatz and rochza, then indeed you would wash for hamotzi without a bracha. Okay. Another din. Omar Rava, bola matzah yotza. If a person swallows matzah without chewing it, then he's still yotza. Because the fact is, he did accomplish ba'ed of teichlu matzahs, because he ate it. That's not the lachatchila dikha thing to do, because a person should have the taste of matzah, but b'di'evet, it's okay. Bola morer lo yotza. But if a person swallows morer without chewing it, then he's not yotza. Then he's not yotze, because you have to have a taste of morer. So therefore, you have to have a taste of morer, and therefore, if you swallow it without chewing it, then you're not yotze. The Rashbam brings a different explanation over here from Rashi, that you would be yotze with morer as well, because inevitably you're going to taste a taste of morer. The halacha is not like that. The halacha is like the girsa that we have in front of us over here. Bola matzah yotza, bola moro lo yotza. Next, bola matzah umoro. What if a person swallows matzah and moro together? Yedei matzah yotza, yedei moru lo yotza. Then again, he's yotza the mitzvah of matzah because we don't care so much if you didn't taste it. But you're not yotza the mitzvah of moru because you're not yotza the mitzvah of moru because again, you didn't chew it and therefore you don't have a taste of it in your mouth. Tosfa says, if you chew them together, then we had on Omer Aleph, one of them can be mevatel, the taste of the other. But here where you're swallowing them together, then even if there's more moro than matzah, we're not going to say it's mevatel. But we're not going to have the problem of one being mevatel the other. Therefore, you're not going to have an issue as far as that. But you're not yotza moro because you didn't taste the flavor of moro. And the Rashbam explains, in other words, you shouldn't think that you have two problems. Number one, what if the morer is wrapped around the matzah? You weren't yotza the morer, and it's wrapped around, so the matzah didn't even touch your throat. Maybe you would think you're not yotza matzah. No, the Gemara is telling us that you are yotza matzah, at least. On the other hand, korchan v'siv uvlon, what if you wrap the matzah or the morer in siv, which is a kind of vine or ivy that grows around palm trees, which is not matzah and not morer, and it's not really edible anyway. So then, af yedei matzah nami lo yotza, then you're not yotza the mitzvah of matzah either, because then, since you didn't taste it, and it didn't even touch your throat. So then, therefore, so it's just like the Rashbam says, like throwing a stone into a container, meaning you haven't accomplished something that can be considered achila. So you're not yotza matzah either. Okay. Another din, Amr of Shimi Ba'ashi, matzah lifnei kol echad ba'echad, morer lifnei kol echad ba'echad, v'charoises lifnei kol echad ba'echad. You have to have matzah, morer, and charoises in front of every person by the table. For two, now here we're talking about where they had individual tables, so each one needs to have individually matzah, morer, and charoises on their table. The Rashbam points out nowadays that we don't have separate tables, then it's good enough to have one Seder plate in front of the person with that who's saying the Haggadah, who's leading the Haggadah, and everybody else can just take from his. Tosfos, on the other hand, gives a different reason, because that the reason would be so that as soon as possible after you make the bracha, since here you're making a bracha on the mitzvah, not just the rest of the year, you say hamotzi or you say ha'adama and you're eating, but you're only making a birkas hanen, and here you're making a birkas hamitzvahs as well. So therefore, you should eat as soon as possible afterwards. And if you only have these things in front of the person leading the Seder, then it's going to be a substantial amount of time before everybody else gets. So therefore, Tosfos says it's not even a matter of separate tables versus one big table. Even at one big table, everybody should have their own. Which is generally what we do. But when it comes to taking away the table, which Rashi says it means lifting up the Seder plate before the Haggadah, the Rashbam says it means actually removing the table, because again, we want to make the kids curious, why are we clearing away the table when we haven't even started the meal yet, and that'll bring them to ask questions. So that you only need to do in front of the one who's actually saying the Haggadah, because that's enough to make the kids curious. So again, the Rashbam explains, we who have large tables, one big table for everybody, we don't actually remove the table, but we move the ka'ara to a different side of the table. Now, actually, it brings that in Shulchan Aruch, but then the Magen Avraham says, maybe we don't even need to do that. Because nowadays, the fact that there's a Seder plate itself, we don't even eat necessarily, we do eat most of the things on the Seder plate, but we know it's there more symbolically than anything else. So really, the Seder plate itself being there is already enough to make the kids curious that it's unusual compared to any other night. So we don't really need to move it in order to make them curious. So in fact, the general Ashkenazic minhag is that in fact we don't actually move the Seder plate. We cover the matzahs before manishtana, but we don't actually move it from its place. There are different minhagim about that, and actually the Yemenites have an interesting minhag. They actually cover the entire table with a tablecloth at that point. So that for sure is enough to make the kids curious and make them wonder what's going on over here. Rav Huna Omer Kulu Nami Lifnei Misha Omer Haggadah. On the other hand, Rav Huna says, not like Rav Shimi Ba'ashi, even when it comes to a Seder plate and all these minim that we're talking about, you don't need them in front of every person. It's enough to have them in front of the one who's leading the Haggadah, and that'll be good enough, because again, it'll still be considered for everybody else matzah umoro menochen lefonecha. And as far as the matter of that it'll take time for them to get matzah and moro from his plate, Rav Huna is not worried about that. The halacha is like Rav Huna, that technically you only need a Seder plate in front of the one who was leading the Haggadah, although again, Lamaisa nowadays, we try to give each person their own Seder plate anyway. Okay.
It says, It says lefanecha. Right. It doesn't say lifnechem. So why do we say that?
Lefanecha means it's in front of you. Again, according to Rav Huna, even if everybody has their own individual table, the fact that you have it in front of the one who's leading the seder amounts to that it's lefanecha in front of everybody, and especially all the more so nowadays where we all eat at one big table.
No, I understand
each male
that.
Person, yeah. What?
Yeah, but it should technically lefanecha means in front of one person. Who says it's, right. It has to be in front of many people?
Well, because each person over there by the seder, each adult by the seder is chayev in the mitzvahs of Pesach night. For that matter, women are also chayev in those mitzvahs just as much as men. So according to Rav Shimi Ba'ashi, each one of them should need matzah and murder in front of them in order to have matzah umar, nochel lefanecha. But according to Rav Huna, the fact that you have it in front of the person, in front of the leader of the Seder is good enough. So yeah, nowadays that we put a Seder plate in front of everybody, we put it in front of all the men by the Seder. We don't necessarily do by the women. We make sure the women have enough matzah and murder for themselves, but we don't necessarily put a Seder plate in front of them. But so even though technically the Halacha is like Rav Huna, you only need one Seder plate in front of the leader of the Seder, especially since we're all by one table. But nevertheless, you know, people like to have a separate Seder plate for each person, or at least for each man by the Seder. Okay, fine. Lama oikrinas ashocha. Now, why are we removing the table before Magid? Amri Dvei Rabbi Yanai, so they said in the Yeshiva Rabbi Yanai, Kadesh Yakiru Tinoikas V'Yishalu. So the kids will see what's going on, and they're going to be curious, and they're going to start asking, why are we removing the table before we even started? In fact, we learned earlier, Tosfos said that what you do is you tell them we're removing the table, and then soon we're going to be bringing it back and dipping vegetables again before we start the meal, and that's going to make them really curious. And that'll lead into the questions of Manishtana. Because again, like we said yesterday, you have to have questions in order to, as a prerequisite for the Seder.
So every time we cover and uncover, it's just for the children?
No, most of the times we cover and uncover is for other reasons. For example, we cover it by Vihishamda because we're going to be lifting up the wine, and it would be a bazillion to the bread to have it uncovered while we're showing more honor to the wine. But this, that we cover it before Manishtana, is this Lahatmiya Tinoikas in order to make the kids curious. Afterwards, we uncover it for Avodah Mayunu, because as we're going to say soon, as the Gemara is going to say soon, which actually at this point we'll learn tomorrow about Hashem, is the matzah has to be lechem sha'oinin olav dvorim harbe, has to be bread over which you say many things. You're saying the Haggadah with the matzah in front of you, therefore we have it uncovered. Okay, so let's finish up over here. Abaya have a Yosef Kameh de Rabba. Abaya was sitting in front of Rabba. Now, Abaya, we've talked about before, was a Yosef. Rabba raised him. So when he was a little boy, he was one time by his uncle Rabba's Seder. Chazer de Kamadli Takam Kameh. He saw that they were removing the table from before Rabba. Amalahu, so he asks, Adayin lo kachlinan. It taka sparked his curiosity. We haven't even eaten yet. Also, kama akri taka mikamon. Why are they coming and taking away the table from in front of us? Amalei Rabba, so Rabba tells him, oh, p'tarton miloima manishtana. You have pattered us from saying manishtana because, like this, you already asked a question. You ask manishtana halaylaze. You ask why is it different this night? So therefore, we don't need to say the whole nusach of manishtana. We can just start avodim hayinu. On the other hand, Tosfos says that actually no. The fact that he asks why we're removing the table is really not enough to pater us from the four questions from Manishtana. What it means is the Gemara is only, according to Tosfos, the Gemara is only bringing the beginning of it. Abaya asked that question, and then that in turn induced him to ask the other questions, which is the Manishtana: why we're dipping only twice, why we have only matzah, etc. Obviously, Abaya must have been a very little kid at this time. So when the Gemara is saying "p'tauten miloim Manishtana," according to Tosfos, what it means is that Rabba is telling him, if you hadn't asked those questions, then I would have to ask those questions. But now that you ask them, then I don't need to. You ask the questions. Now I can answer and start with Avodim Hayinu. In fact, the Rambam actually writes that the person leading the Seder should say over the questions as well, generally. And that's our minhag, that after the kids ask Manishtana, then the adults go and repeat Manishtana themselves. Okay.